Welcome to A Brighter Day in the Neighborhood with your host, Angela Jones. Presented by Brighter Day Law, listen to the stories of the people who make Colorado Springs a great place to live and make our world better every day. We want to give back to those who give so much to us.
Good afternoon. It's another Brighter Day in the Neighborhood with your host, Angela Jones. And today we have a very special guest, Suzanne Tulene. She's a local business owner, speaker, and author. And you've just written a new book. Is that right, Suzanne?
Yeah, I took the quarantine of COVID and got busy.
And you've been on a big book tour. And remind me of the name of that book.
It's Personal Brand Clarity.
That's right, Personal Brand Clarity. And I know I read the book you wrote in 2010.
Brand DNA.
That's right. That's right. So that's really exciting. You've been doing a lot of touring with that book, or like kind of doing the podcast tour.
A lot of podcast touring, for sure. And I can be all over the world, right?
Right. Absolutely. And that's really actually one of the great things that have come out of the kind of the whole, COVID quarantine thing, books, new information, and new ways of doing things. Well, we're really happy to have you here. And I know we had talked just a little bit before going on the air here today, and about, I'd asked you, like I ask everyone who comes on, to really share who Suzanne is with us here. And you said you hadn't talked much about yourself because you're talking about business. And I think that's actually, isn't that kind of funny how we tend to, as business owners, entrepreneurs, whatever, slip into, that's the whole conversation.
Yes, so, exactly. Exactly.
And so having thought through that question, where do you think you'd like to start?
Because you want to know who I am, right?
That's right.
Wow. Well, I actually have gone through my own personal brand clarity program. So I do know who I am from that standpoint, and why I exist. But to just start and talk about who I am, I'm a Midwest gal from Ohio, Dayton, Ohio. I lived in Mobile, Alabama for a while, and before that, I actually married my high school sweetheart.
Oh, wow.
And he was in the Navy at the time.
Okay.
So I lived in Norfolk, Virginia for a while, but we were only together like 56 days our first year of marriage because he was on a ship. And so that was a little difficult for me. But then we moved to Mobile, Alabama. We both went to college, and I got my degree in communications with a minor in graphic design and a minor in psychology.
Okay.
So took that and really became who I am through that profession, of communications and design and marketing and that sort of thing.
And psychology.
I love psychology. It has to weave in, right? Sorry. Because I'm so fascinated by the human element.
Right. And what drew you to psychology or marketing? And communications in particular.
Just being curious. I'm a Sagittarian, and I don't know if you follow that sort of stuff, but I'm super curious, almost to a degree where it could be dangerous for me because I just love information. I'm a knowledge person, and my curiosity got me into just trying to understand why people are drawn to things. And of course, that's why I'm in brand right now, right? What is the attraction component that draws people? What does marketing do to draw people in? What are those resonance and those connection pieces? So I think that's really what fascinated me, and including graphic design. I mean, the beauty of visuals and color and space and shapes and those types of things to make, to represent a brand or an essence of something, right?
Yeah, or even a person, I think, because if you're really breaking that down to, it's kind of that force that causes magnets to come together, or even to shift.
Quantum physics.
Right. So is that, is that really at the essence of what it is for you then?
I think so. I'm a spiritual person too, and I love the idea of the law of attraction and quantum physics and understanding that connection and energies and things like that. So I think that all ties into how I do what I do and how I connect the dots for my clients to do what they do, So it's just been a fascinating journey for me.
Well, expanding it beyond, so we can take everything down, since you're talking about quantum physics, we can take down everything down to its very essence, and we're all energy.
That's right.
We're nothing more than organized energy.
That's right.
Organized in different ways by whom or what, I think different people have different concepts on that. But that's that whole thing. It's again, there's this idea that, like, you know, you're this is who you are within the construct of your business or the way that you've directed that your energy, the energy of who you are, into that business context. But, you know, what is it about connection or communication that really resonates with the way you're made?
Wow, that's an interesting question. What is it about connection? You know, I think I have a need to understand, and it's that connection component, that where you have that, just that bright idea, that that light that goes off, the aha moment, when you yourself can resonate with something and it actually means something to you. And so it's kind of what I do in the business, is design a process or program to get people to unpack what that looks like, so that they can show up in alignment with who they say they are. And that that connection is what is magnetic. That would attract and create whatever you're trying to create in your world.
Well, and that, that kind of idea that like attracts like, like if you're able to articulate what is true about you or what your essence or core is, then people who are, you know, drawn to that will, you know, come and join and be a part of it.
And not only articulate in a verbal sense with your vernacular, your narrative, maybe, but in your actions and behaviors, and really owning that that attribute that you've you've assigned to yourself, or the set of attributes, right? And really then becoming it because you're more conscious, strategic, and deliberate at doing so. You know, so many of us, I think, are so externally impacted by our external worlds that we become so reactive to our environments. Instead of being in the driver's seat and being the driver of our actions and behaviors, because we're internally focused.
Tell me more about that, like, 'cause it's very interesting, but I don't know that I have a lot of clarity on that. What do you mean when you're talking about reactive with our environment?
Yeah, so things around me are happening, so I'm reacting. Like, I get a phone call, I pick up the phone, right? I hear a baby cry, I go after that. I have an appointment, I have to get in the car and go. I mean, all of these structural things that are around me that I'm reacting to, versus saying, okay, well, I value harmony, or I value peace, or I value, let's even say, structure or health. If, you know, if I'm valuing my own health, but I'm running and reacting to my environment all the time, and I skip over self-care, then I am not driving the bus, so to speak, right? And so in the personal brand side, that's what I really help my solo professionals really do, is identify and define who they are, so that they can align to it and really be the driver of that bus.
Well, in using, if I can, because I'm a gal from the South, you know, I think you're kind of talking about, like, the best defense being a good offense. You know what I mean? And teamwork gets, you know, makes the dream work type of stuff. You know?
And you can begin to manifest more things when you are in control. Because, you know, I often get asked, you know, well, what is a brand and what isn't? And why do I need a brand, right? Well, everyone already has one, first of all, when they realize that. The question is, are you in control of it? And, you know, and that is being in control of the perceptions others have of you, but do you have a perception of yourself?
So what is your brand? What is your perception of you?
So my mantra, and what it culminates down to, if you do the work and unpack all that and get all the attributes out, you come down to a mantra and a why statement, right? And so my mantra is consciousness, inspiration, and growth. So I that is me. That is, like, I'm constantly trying to be more conscious of my surroundings, of who I am, who I'm dealing with, what I say, all of these things. I love that level of just being awake and conscious.
And does that have to do with cautiousness or control or
aware?
Okay.
It's awareness.
Like situational awareness?
Very much so. In good, bad, and indifferent, right? It doesn't have to be for a reason. It's just I am aware. I am present. I am aware. I'm here. And then inspiration is, you know what, I'm finding inspiration. I seek inspiration. And I like to inspire my audiences when I'm on stages, right? And then growth. It's, everything is about growth and evolution, right? If we're not growing, we're dying. We're constantly changing. And I get high off the idea of growth and evolution. So it's just, it's something that I want my clients to also feel that they are evolving into something that is better than who they are right now.
So I want to ask you, Suzanne, with respect to this consciousness, who are like your major influences that have helped you to develop, you know, consciousness, you know, authors or, you know, speakers that have, you know, really helped you to sort that out?
Well, I would easily say Deepak Chopra. He's one of the spiritual gurus I think I have followed for such a long time since I've, you know, really gotten into this. I would also say Tony Robbins and I, in numerology, we are the same number.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's got a very interesting backstory.
He really does.
And, you know, I want to come back around to the story that he tells about his mother and gratitude. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know you know what I'm talking about. So that's fantastic. Yeah. I think the next thing you said was inspiration. So who are your major influences in that regard?
I don't know if you know the name Marianne Williamson. She actually ran for president.
Don't know that I...
You know, she's as another spiritual leader. She's just
Who else was
amazing.
Running at that time, do you recall?
Gosh, there were so many on the stage at that time.
Right.
Oh, lots of people. But she, you know, because she was heavily from the spiritual arena, that she wasn't in mainstream.
Right.
So I don't think it really caught on. But her messaging and her ability to be highly conscious and really understand historically what human beings have gone through, you know, even in just America, but what we've gone through to get to where we are today.
Right.
Is just amazing. But
so you found that very inspirational yourself.
Yeah.
Like it really called you out.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
And then growth. What types of practices or folks do you follow in terms of the growth realm?
Gosh. Well, I myself am a podcast absorber.
Okay.
I mean, a consumer of podcasts. So I'm totally knowledge. And I have a plethora of podcasts that I follow on happiness, The Daily Show. There's one now they're not, of course, coming to me right now. But I'm just fascinated with information.
Yeah.
You know, and I just can't absorb enough of it. And it's usually practical information.
Right.
And spiritual, too.
Well, and that's one I know that need for information, lots of information, you and I very much have in common. Although I've noticed that you're much more heavily a process person than I am. Yeah, you're process, which is why I think when we've worked together, it's worked so well, because I'm the yin to your yang in the process area of process. I'm kind of like, big idea, you're the implementer.
Let's do it.
So, exactly.
Well, at the same time, I'm highly creative. You know, I was a graphic designer for years, and I had a business in that space, so I can kind of balance the two.
Well, and you know, I don't know that creativity and processes are mutually exclusive.
They're
because let's think this through. You know, people who design software programs, we know the folks at Google are creative.
Yes.
The folks at Apple are absolutely creative, but they're not, you know, I guess sometimes creative gets this rap of being a little flaky or something, and I don't think that resonates, because I think I'm creative also in the line of work that I do, but I'm definitely not putting up artwork, you know, I'm not producing pieces, anything, you know, anybody
not yet,
looks at. It's really just about, you know, helping navigate, you know, fact scenarios, situations, real life circumstances in a way that, you know, like we're turning the situation like a Rubik's Cube to figure out how best to put things back in order or into a new order sometimes.
Well, when you think about musicians and how generally they are really high on the scale of knowing mathematics.
Absolutely.
Right? So it's that, you know, that kind of that opposite, the polar opposite, but yet able to express it in both sides.
Well, and then you start talking about the way that music is organized. I mean, it's organized sound. And again, back to that idea of physics, that, you know, if you are really, I mean, if you start to deconstruct like the great masterpieces, you know, music or, I mean, even fantastic riffs, you know what I mean? It's
and what attracts the human ear to that? What makes it resonate, right? That's so
It's organized chaos. That's what it is. It goes back to chaos theory.
Why is that one to be? Well, you know, why does that become a bestseller? You know,
well, why do we all want to control and organize our lives, our little world, to make sense of it? We all do.
And so, who'd have thunk we'd have a quantum physics discussion?
Well, and I've always been attracted to people that had that level of mathematical mind, or the scientific mind, the hard science mind. And you know, I try my best to keep up in conversations, but truthfully, that's the kind of those are the types of conversations. Generally, I just sit back, stay quiet. You know, lest I open my mouth and, you know, let people know just how ignorant I am about those types of things. You're listening to A Brighter Day in the Neighborhood with your host, Angela Jones, and our very special guest, Suzanne Tulene. So, moving, you know, back to the Tony Robbins story, I heard a story that he told one time about, you know, having come up in a very abusive household. In particular, he was abused by his mother, who had substance abuse issues, and his whole take on that in what was really the platform for a lot of what he's doing now. And I don't mean the nuts and bolts of, you know, getting into numerology or what is it that he does, that
EFT
or any of those kind of the techniques, but really the core of, you know, what he does is based in this idea of looking at difficulties as opportunities and finding gratitude in every situation. And that was really my big takeaway from, and I think it was a documentary that's on Netflix where I heard the story told.
Okay.
And I don't remember, I'm Not Your Guru, maybe?
Might be
the name of it.
Yeah.
Anyway, he told the story about how he was so grateful for his mother and for what he experienced growing up with her, because had he not, he would never have walked into his destiny, which he believes what he's doing right now was, it's his contribution, it's his purpose in the world, which is why he is so, you know, successful and fulfilled in doing
it. Passionate.
Yeah.
Yes, very.
Yeah. And so, yeah. So how does that, like, how does that kind of fit in maybe with your background?
Well, it doesn't. I wasn't abused in any sort of way in my background, but I did feel that, you know, I was bullied, you know, and I went to a Catholic school, and we had lots of little cliques there. And I know that was probably one of the pieces that caused me to really think about who I am. And, you know, I remember at one point I really wanted to be like these girls. I wanted to be in that circle.
Like, be the mean girls.
I wanted to be in the circle.
Right.
Included. And then I, like, what am I thinking, you know? And I realized that I don't want to be them. But if I'm not going to be them, then who am I? And what am I doing to attract that sort of picking on and bullying, right? And I just got into a real reflective mode at a pretty young age, just wondering, what is this all about? And so I think that's what kind of started my mind to churn and wonder, you know, what is this all about?
So do you think you ever, especially in your adolescent mind, ever came up with an answer for yourself about what you thought you might be doing to attract negative attention from these gals?
No. I don't know if I ever really came to the answer at that point. Although I've always felt at that level, what I thought was because of the bullying, but it was probably the other way around, that I wasn't worthy, that I wasn't enough. You know, I'm the third child in our family, so, you know, there's issues with the third child.
Of course, yeah.
And so I think that at the base of that, and I must have been, you know, kind of emanating that sort of energy, and then that I attracted that affirmation that I wasn't enough through that environment.
So, or when it started, because of however you were feeling about yourself, you didn't take, you know, actions that would have discouraged repeated behavior. And we all do that.
Because I wasn't worthy.
No, I'm the oldest, and there's a lot that goes with that, too.
Yeah, sure.
I think that birth order is just, you know.
It's fascinating, isn't it?
It really is. And, you know.
I want to share this quote.
Sure,
just because we're on the subject that I share in my workshops. And it says, How we believe we are perceived shapes who we become.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're believing we're unworthy, we're going to become unworthy,
mm-hmm.
right? Or really create an environment that sets that up for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but when you unpack who you are and really do the deep dive work and uncover that, then you find these fascinating attributes that make you who you are. You fall back in love with yourself. And then how you believe you are perceived shapes who you become.
Well,
so you become someone new, right?
Well, and I'm assuming you're a student of like Napoleon Hill and you're right, and you know, how what you think is reality, essentially. But I'm a big fan of and he's a pastor, Norman Vincent Peale. He wrote a book called The Power of Positive Thinking. And when you were telling me about this, you know, I wanted to not necessarily be like these girls, but you wanted to belong. You wanted to fit.
That's
right.
The piece.
And he, and I don't know exactly which chapter of the book, but he goes over this question of popularity and talks about how we actually all, it's like an innate human drive to be popular, to and because that validates us as human beings. But I think it answers that, like going back to sort of your whole purpose of like helping people figure out who they are and what they're about so that they attract to them
exactly
their tribe, you know. And so and that's so important because, you know, I know in high school it's like this microcosm of the world in large. You know, and there is always that clique, I guess, in every movie. You know, it's like the three girls or the five guys or whatever, you know. And, you know, not to vilify the cheerleaders or the, you know, football players, but they always seem to pick on those groups as being the jerks, you know. But everybody else is not the popular people, which means that most people aren't the popular people. And most people are walking, you know, through this world feeling outside. I mean, and sometimes they find their hey, my little tribe, but then there's a negative association with it. Oh, I'm in the nerd group, or I'm in the, you know, stoner group. You know,
one of my label themselves.
Right. Well, one of my favorite movies of all time is Breakfast Club.
Oh,
you
no.
know? Yes, it is.
Oh,
and I know
great.
I'm dating myself and I don't even care because
I love that too.
It is so good. And that was the whole thing. It was like, and the premise of the story for everyone who hasn't, you know, seen it, is that they all came, you know, these kids from, you know, a jock and a homecoming queen.
Like misfits.
Misfit, you know, this nerdy, extremely smart kid, this gal who, you know, seemed to have mental health issues, and then kind of a criminal guy, you know, had like caught a locker on fire or something. And they all came together and they became friends over this Saturday detention and realized that, you know, it's not really them that are so different, but it's sort of society that's placing these labels on us, and we get them from our parents, we get them from whomever, you know.
And we take them on, and we start living that, and we forget who we really are.
Right.
And that's the moment that I get capture with my clients is like, let's step back, let's take a look at this, let's unpack it, and really become again who you say you are.
Yeah.
So when you were asking me about, you know, who I am, and I mentioned my mantra, the consciousness, inspiration, and growth. Well, my why statement is I exist to be a co-creative partner in the evolution of self-alignment and authenticity. I'm a catalyst for consciousness, inspiration, and growth. So it's kind of this all-encompassing phrase that I can say to myself. It's memorized to get myself out of a funk, right? To remember who I am, to remember those attributes I created in my DNA, and really step back in then at a conscious level and become me again. So that's kind of the magic that happens when you're believe a new belief system in what you want others to perceive of you.
Right.
And yourself.
Well, and then the journey itself, like in doing, it sounds like then in doing the work, either the work you do in an organization, which is extremely helpful, but especially like with the solopreneur.
Yeah, solo professional.
Solopreneur, that you're taking them on that journey, you know. And I would assume that's very energizing work for you.
You know, in the beginning, I see their potential more than they do, and I'm excited for them. But they don't know what they're getting themselves into at the time, right?
They
think they do, but they don't. And it is some deep work. So, and as we're unpacking, going through these activities that help shed, you know, these untrue belief systems that they have, and really get down to the core of what they stand for, and what their value position is in society. And it's more than just what they do at work, right? It's everything they do in their world.
Right.
I see the transformation, right? They feel it. Mm-hmm. Their spouses feel it and mm-hmm. see it. Their kids might see it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they are gradually becoming their authentic self, and it's super powerful.
Do you, I mean, without getting into any specifics, mm-hmm. do you, like, can you describe, like, you know, with more concrete terms, like where you've seen someone go from X to Y in a given area?
Oh my gosh. It's just really, think of the flower blooming, and you know that there is a personality in there. You know that they've got something to offer and something to give. But they're not doing it mm-hmm. to the level they could be doing it. And then 6 months later down the road, all of a sudden they show up.
Right.
And they're on stages and they're talking articulately and they're confident mm-hmm. and they're out there doing what they were meant to be doing. And that's mm-hmm. what's just so amazing. And they're in it, right? So it's like seeing the forest through the trees. They don't know that they've changed that much, but everyone else around them is saying, what did you do?
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, again, I don't know how I'm on this movie theme so much today, but I mean, how many movies have we watched where that it's that transformation from, you know, we all get a glimpse of who the person is or could be at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, here you have that duckling that's turned into the swan at the end of the day. Well, that's really some cool stuff that you've gotten into. It's kind of part counseling, part business coaching.
Part bartender.
Part bartender? Well, okay.
I mean, you know, the bartender is like a counselor, and so is your hairdresser, right?
Oh, I thought, you know, I don't know, cocktails are involved
somehow.
Oh,
yeah, they're always involved.
Okay. Well, Suzanne, it's really been a pleasure having you here with us today. If someone out there listening is interested in getting in touch with you and getting more information about the work that you do with businesses and entrepreneurs, where can they reach you?
They can find me on the web, brandascension.com. I'm there. Everything that I do is on that site.
Okay.
There's so much stuff on that site. There's some free tools on there. And there's also a way that you can get a 30-minute consult with me that's pro bono, and we'll just sit down and chat about what's going on and see if we're a good fit and go from there.
All right. Yeah. Well, wonderful. And maybe I'll take you up on one of those 30-minute consultations for the solopreneur, and then we can come back and report about my transformation in a given area.
Absolutely. Well, you've transformed so much since I first met you.
Well, and that was about 5 years ago. That's right. I think we met
eWomen.
eWomen.
Yeah.
That's
mm-hmm.
right. That's right. And which is a fantastic organization of itself. But we would love to have you back if you'd join
so
us at another time. Absolutely.
All right, dear. Thank you so much
for
being here.
Have a good weekend, and we look forward to you joining us again next week for another Brighter Day in the Neighborhood.
This has been A Brighter Day in the Neighborhood, presented by Brighter Day Law. Heard every Sunday at 11 a.m. on KPPF, 98.5 FM, 1040 AM, and 95.7 FM. Listen to the companion podcast on Podbean. Brighter Day Law are an experienced and qualified team of divorce and family law attorneys. Their aim is to help you get through that emotional and challenging time of divorce and other family disputes. The mission of Brighter Day Law is to compassionately help families resolve their disputes with personalized legal representation while keeping the best interest of the entire family at heart. Their attorneys handle all kinds of family law cases, including child custody, divorce, high asset divorce, mediation, and alimony. Brighter Day Law, compassionate counsel in dark and stressful times. 225-4493 or at brighterdaylaw.com.